Let me see if there's anything else I can tell you. Oh, show you this. When we were, I think it was, we were visiting, we went on quite a few tours in Mississippi. We visited a lot of the towns, as many of them as we could. And one day we went down along the state. We visited Vicksburg and Natchez, and then we cut over to Jackson and up. And I think it was when we were in Natchez, we stopped at a filling station. And down there, George Wallace and Lester Maddox and those people like that are, you know, all real big down there. And they sell license plates with "This is Wallace Country," or Mississippi only has one license plate, so you see a lot of these on the front of the cars. Or they sell license plates with the Confederate flag on them. And this gas station attendant was really funny. There were three of us that bought these, and we were buying them for a big joke. And he was, you know, he was real serious about the whole thing. He said, what did he say? He said, "I think Wallace has got a pretty good chance, don't you?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I think he's got a real good chance." And I imagine he does have a good chance down there. But he was real surprised that you can't buy these Wallace stickers up north. He couldn't understand that. But when we were in Vicksburg, they, from your history, you know, they fought a big battle of the Civil War in Vicksburg, and we visited the war memorial they have there for all the soldiers that died. They have each state, northern states and southern states, both have monuments erected to soldiers that they lost in that battle there. When we were in Vicksburg, we visited a couple of these antebellum homes. They're the big mansions that weren't destroyed during the war. They were maybe shelled a little bit, but most of them were left intact. And historical societies or private families have bought these and remodeled them. You don't see too many people living in these big mansions anymore. The white people have beautiful homes, but they're not the old mansion with the pillars deal. And this one we visited was really beautiful. It was huge. And the little theater group of Vicksburg had bought it and fixed it up, and they charge you, I don't know, $1, I think it is, to go through. And these homes are really unbelievable. This one that we visited, they said took 30 years to build. And they have all the original floors in them, and they showed us a couple of places where, see, we're in Vicksburg, so the house was up on a hill, and the Mississippi was right below it. And the Yankee gunboats had bombarded the city, so some of the shells had gone through the house, and several of the shells had lodged in the wall, so they just left these there for show and painted around them. And we went through two of these, and they have a little lady that tells you everything. She knows every little crummy knickknack they have in the place. She tells you all the historical background to it. And one thing we noticed with the one lady that was showing us through, it really seemed to us that she really missed this life. To her, that was really the good life then, in the old days, and that she was really sad to see it gone. There was really something that had meant a lot to these people. She was showing us this one picture. I don't remember what the picture was about, but it was a slash in it, and she was telling us that they like to think some damn Yankee had done that when he went through the house. Well, that's what they tell everybody anyway. She says it makes for a good story. And we liked Vicksburg. We thought that was a nice town. Then we went on down to Natchez, and we weren't too impressed with Natchez. We visited Grenada, Mississippi that day too. You heard a lot about Grenada and the civil rights movement, but everything was quiet in Grenada when we were there. We visited their dam. If you're ever in Grenada, take time to see their dam. They have a nice dam. And colored people can't go see it, but it's a nice dam. And I'm trying to think what else I can tell you. Does anybody have any questions? Maybe I'll think of something if you got a question. Anything about anything? Oh. Oh, do you? Sunflower, Mississippi?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think Mound Bayou, we were told by quite a few people that Mound Bayou was the only all-Negro town in Mississippi. But there are a lot of towns that are predominantly Negro, so that might be. Yeah, that's right. Because for 10 hour day labor for 10 hours picking cotton, you get $3 a day. See, they've just government has just passed the minimum wage law, but rather than pay the minimum wage law to the workers, the boss men just fire them because they don't want to pay the $1.25 an hour. So they would, I imagine what they'll do is just stall around on that long enough, and when the people get hungry enough, they'll come back and work for $3 a day. And there's no way to enforce it down there. They get a lot of government funds, but see, the government funds come down to the politicians, and the politicians are all white. So they make sure that it doesn't go where it usually do the most good.
Those houses you were showing us the pictures of,
Mm-hmm.
the poor white people living on the cliff, they had two or more.
Yeah, we saw, we didn't see nearly as many white people living in shacks like that, but there were some. There weren't nearly as many. We weren't looking for them either, but we did see some white people living in shacks like that. What was for YCS? I think that's what was the. See, Sister Alberta Marie had been down there this summer, and she'd been in Greenwood, Mississippi, and she'd worked with the STAR program that teaches the illiterates to read and write. So when she was down there, she met Father Guidry, and then she wrote a letter to him asking if he would like to have some students come down. So we came down and stayed there. Oh, and most of the colored people down there, and quite a few of the poor whites too, get their food with food stamps, their government food stamps. You can go to these redemption centers and buy these food stamps, and you can get about twice as much food with the stamps as you would with the same money. And there's a lot of crooked politics in that too. Some places you can buy maybe three times as much with your food stamps. And other places you can only get twice as much, but that's a big help to the farm Negroes, especially during the winter time. A lot of them don't eat so good, and it works a real hardship on the family, and it helps them out quite a bit then when they can get these stamps. What do I think of foreign aid? You mean to other countries? Well, I think it's pretty good. I think if we can spend $71 billion a year on defense, and I don't know what we spend on foreign aid, I think it's $1 billion. I think we could send a few billion down there and still have enough to go around without cutting down the foreign aid. Down there? Yeah, I think if you, I mean, you know, not give them handouts, but to give them the education. That's the key to the whole thing. And when you're down there, you see that things are really changing fast because the people get an education and then they leave. We were, when we visited the high school, we had a chance to talk to their student council president, and he said in the summertime you don't see any young kids down there at all, any high school kids. As soon as school's out, they get on the bus for Chicago or Gary. And most of them, quite a few of them we talked to, felt that there's just no future for them in Mississippi. As soon as they get an education, they have to get out. But I think more aid down there would be good, yeah. It'd have to be supervised, though, because, I mean, you can give them all kinds of money, but as long as the white power structure is controlling the distribution and everything of it, it's not going to do too much good. The Peace Corps? I don't know, we didn't say anything of the Peace Corps, no.
Peace Corps is only international. You have the VISTA and the job for some domestic groups, but they wouldn't be there.
With the STAR program, there's people that go down and work for that, but they're, you know, they're out of school and they have, they're teaching. Well, it's better than the Peace Corps, I think. These people that are teaching in the Head Start program, or not the Head Start, but the STAR program, get a little better salary. This man from Jersey City was telling us that these colored people, you know, they really appreciate him and they really like him. He was a real nice guy. And he said a lot of them didn't seem to understand that he was getting paid for what he was doing. A lot of them thought, you know, he was just coming down to help them. And he was. I mean, he's a real sincere man. But he does get paid for it. I don't know, you know, what it is or how much he gets. But. Anything else? Anybody? Oh no, most of them were real nice. It wasn't fear. They were really, really nice, really receptive people. And this reminds me of another thing. When we were in the listening to the services, the minister, his both sermons that I heard were revolved around love. And each time we were, they're taught, you know, not to hate anybody. We asked the student council president if he hated white people. And see, this was one thing we had a little trouble understanding. After seeing these conditions, we couldn't understand why they're not all pitching bricks and rioting all the time. You know, I think the frustration would be so much for me that I couldn't take it. I'd just be throwing rocks through mansion windows all the time. And he said that his father had always taught him that a man was a man, and that you were supposed to love everyone. And this is what the ministers at these services preach too. And each time they welcomed their white friends back. They told us to. In fact, the third night, I guess they told the kids that went that they were beginning to look like a part of the congregation, and that if they wanted to join, it was all right. But they were real nice to us. Once in a while, you talk to some of them, and they seem nervous. And well, of course, this is to be expected. It depends on where you talk to them, too. Like in Mound Bayou, that's all Negro there, so they have nothing, there's no one to fear there. The people there were really, you know, genuinely interested in what we were doing down there and everything, so. Any more questions?
Your talk with the student council president in the high school, did he seem to reflect a basic optimism for the future, or did they have a sense of being doomed to a life of...
He seemed real optimistic, but he was pretty convinced that in order to get ahead, and he felt he could get ahead, he'd have to get out of the South. In fact, he was enrolled at Indiana State for the next year. He was going to study to be a lawyer. But he says a lot of the older people try to persuade him to get an education in the South and stay there and help them out. But he said that himself and a lot of the kids want to get out and get north as soon as they can. He was in Chicago last summer on the West Side when all the rioting was going on. And I don't know, it was easier for me to understand the rioting and the reasons behind it in Chicago after being down in the South. Because a lot of these people come up here and they really don't have a good education, but there's no chance for them to get it down there. And when they come up, they really aren't prepared for, I don't know, I'm just talking, this is just my own opinion, but a lot of them really aren't prepared educationally to have a much better job up here. And it's hard, difficult for them to find a job. No, I think on the whole, everybody thinks their chances are much better. And I think the enrollment, the large enrollment they have in these adult education programs is proof of that. Like this one woman I was telling you about that lives in the shack that we visited first, she told us that she wanted to get an education so that she could get out and get to something better later on. So, and one thing about this, the STAR program, the adults, they, one person we talked to felt that it wouldn't help them too much. They still wouldn't be able to get too good of a job. But the thing it does is that it brings into the family the value of education. And they were telling us that in Greenwood, since the STAR program started the adult education courses, that the dropout rate in the schools has dropped 35%. That's one thing in Mississippi. They have, well, they don't have to. They have laws in the books they're supposed to go to school, but they aren't enforced.